This is Karen Medina returning with the Decatur Herald and Review e-version. We've already done 1 half hour and we're heading for the next half hour. I'm reading to you from the WILL studios here in Urbana, Illinois. The next article is titled, Decatur Man Held for Allegedly Choking Woman. Dateline Decatur. Police were sent to a West Side house on the evening of December 27th on the report of domestic violence. A woman in her 20s told police she and Elijah Muhammad had been engaged in a verbal argument that escalated. Muhammad put both of his hands around her neck and began to choke her, she told police, according to a probable cause affidavit by Decatur Patrol Officer Charles Lane. Muhammad, 24, was arrested January 19th and booked into the Macon County Jail. He was arraigned Monday on one count of domestic battery. Muhammad, whose name is also spelled M-U-H-A-M-M-E-D versus the M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D, in some court documents is being held on $75,000 bond. The victim who reported that she was choked by Muhammad said that after that she almost passed out because she could not breathe. She grabbed her cell phone and ran out the front door of her home. Muhammad chased her down, grabbed hold of her hair weave, and pulled her back onto the porch of the residence, she told police. After he dragged her by her hair weave, he pulled the weave completely out of her hair. The victim broke free from Muhammad and called police. She then stood on the porch and yelled at him that he should leave. He advanced toward her several times as she continued to yell. A neighbor also called the police to report the incident. She told officers that she heard a woman screaming about 5 p.m. When she went outside to investigate, she saw the woman on her front porch. She saw a man advancing toward her. Then the woman screamed something at him, and he turned away. This happened several times before the suspect left the area. The affidavit said that Muhammad was previously charged with domestic battery in an incident that occurred on November 16, 2014, with the same victim. He was not convicted in that case. Muhammad, who has 4 prior felony convictions, served 2 4-year sentences in the Illinois Department of Corrections for 2010 convictions of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon and manufactured delivery of cannabis. The next local article is on, I think this is A6. Decatur unemployment rate rose in December, and this is Dateline Decatur. Even as the Decatur area unemployment rate increased in December, job openings continued to go unfilled. The unemployment rate was 7.4% in Decatur, up from 7% in December 2014, according to Illinois Department of Employment Security Statistics released Thursday. For those seeking to find employment, completing training might become necessary, said Ron Payne, a labor market analyst with the department. Jobs are available for those with the required training, including the closely watched manufacturing sector, he said. Those opening typically require a bit more skills, such as using computers, Payne said. They may want to reconsider training. Agencies such as Workforce Investment Solutions in Decatur are available to assist job seekers, Payne said. They can help decide what would be a good fit and the most likely occupation to fit their skills, Payne said. It could be a good idea to explore opportunities for additional training and see where that lands them. To assist unemployed and underemployed job seekers, Workforce Investment Solutions is recruiting for a free training program to be offered this spring in Decatur. It held informational meetings this week, with another one added and scheduled for 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, February 2nd at the Illinois WorkNet Center, 757 West Pershing Road in Decatur. The program will provide training for jobs in the manufacturing, transportation, distribution, and logistics sectors. It is part of efforts to further develop the area workforce and place workers in jobs that area companies haven't been able to fill. Manufacturing training will include safety, quality blueprint reading, and machine maintenance. Logistics training will include safety, material handling, quality inventory control, shipping receiving, and storage and transportation. Payne said the unemployment rate in December increased across the state, with the statewide rate going up slightly to 5.9% from 5.8% in December 2014. Elsewhere in central Illinois, the December unemployment rate in Christian County was 7.1% and 6.6% a year ago. In Coles County, 6.4% and 5.6% in DeWitt, 6.2% and 5.6% in Douglas, 5.4% and 4.9% in Effingham, 5.0% and 4.9% in Fayette, 7.2% and 6.6% in Logan, 5.7% and 5.5% in Moultrie, 4.9% and 4.4% in Piatt, 5.3% and 4.8% in Shelby, 6.9% and 5.9%. I kind of read those wrong. On Biz, Decatur Brew Works, Shelley's Homestyle Grill, The Corn Crib. The wait is over for Decatur Brew Works, especially the first customer who waited in line. Drux Lewandowski, one of the four partners in the business, said that Brian Bell of Decatur stood outside 101 North Main Street about an hour to be the first in the door at 4 p.m. Tuesday. "We were slammed," Lewandowski said. "Our mission is to bring the best American and European draft beers to Decatur, and people are looking for that." The project started more than a year ago, and Lewandowski said it took time to remodel the space and obtain the necessary permits. He said it will be the first time since 1916 Decatur has its own brewery company. "It's long overdue," Lewandowski said. "The community didn't have this before. We anticipated a good response." The grand opening included a drawing for a free glass of beer every hour. It is noon to 10 p.m. Saturday. Offerings from the 24 taps at the Brew Works include cider and mead and three creations of the brewery's own, D-Town Brown, Bob the Belgian, and a Neuser wheat beer. Six taps for Decatur-made beer will be used in the future, Lewandowski said. Beyond that, and a few wine choices, however, it's bring your own, I don't know what F is, BYOF. Customers are welcome to bring food from home or from a neighborhood restaurant. The trick will be to keep enough beer brewed to meet demand, Lewandowski said. Each batch takes about 6 hours to brew in the basement of the building, he said. Lewandowski's partners are Micah Nicole, K-O-L-L, Renee Manring, and Stan Rives, R-I-V-E-S. Hours are 4 to 10 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and noon to 10 p.m. on Saturday. For more information, find the brewery on Facebook or call 217-330-8683. The other part of the article, it's broken into three little tiny sections. A restaurant on Decatur's east side is returning to its original feel after changes in name and ownership. Shelley's Homestyle Grill opened last month at 566 North Bush College Road in the former location of Jan's East End Grill. But new owner Shelley Svoboda, S-V-O-B-O-D-A, had worked at the restaurant when Jan Elliott owned it and liked what Elliott had started before retiring in 2014 after 24 years. "I always had a feel for it," said Svoboda, who now owns the business with her husband, Brian. Svoboda is looking to provide home-cooked meals with fast-friendly service. Daily specials are offered for breakfast and lunch, she said. Some of the aspects of owning a business are new to Svoboda, but she likes how the changes have gone. Changing the name of the business gives it a fresh start while providing the atmosphere customers had come to enjoy, Svoboda said. The restaurant is available for private parties and offers catering, she said. Svoboda said several members of her family are helping out and some of the previous staff has returned. Hours are 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday when a buffet is served. Call 217-330-8931 or find the business on Facebook. The next part of the article is The Corn Crib, K-O-R-N-K-R-I-B. The Corn Crib Bar and Restaurant in Latham is back up and running with familiar owners. Greg and Connie Burgett have owned the business at 2371 North Illinois 121 for about 20 years, but with different managers throughout that time. Now they reopened it themselves and are ready to welcome back customers. A video gaming area has been added, Connie Burgett said. A full menu for lunch and dinner is offered with specials throughout the week, including walleye on Wednesdays and catfish on Fridays, she said. Parties for various occasions can be booked in advance, Connie Burgett said. She said the place was booked throughout the holiday season. They've been pleased with how the business has been going, Connie Burgett said. It's been going pretty good, she said. The restaurant's Facebook page is updated with the latest specials and events. Orders for dine-in and carry-out can be placed in advance. The business opens at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday through Saturday and closes at 11 p.m. Tuesday and Thursday and 2 a.m. Friday through Saturday. Lunch is served 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. with dinner from 5 to 8:30 p.m. It is currently closed Sunday and Monday. Call 217-674-3444. The last one, on BizBits. The Burger King restaurant on East El Dorado Street in Decatur has reopened after being temporarily closed for part of this month for a remodeling project. The Town and Country Bank has reached an agreement to acquire Centru Bank's facility in Fairview Heights, the deal part of Town and Country's expansion into the Metro East market of St. Louis, is expected to close late in the second quarter of 2016. Those seem unrelated, but we're in the same paragraph. That's interesting. We now move on to the obituaries. Margaret Louise Baker, Clinton. Margaret Louise Baker, 95, of Clinton, Illinois, passed away 11 a.m. January 25th, 2016, at her family residence in Clinton, Illinois. Margaret was born November 11th, 1920, in Hillsboro, the daughter of Homer A. and Elizabeth Phillips McHugh. She married E. George Baker, August 30th, 1941, in Hillsboro, Illinois. He passed away January 23rd, 1989. Before retiring, Margaret was a partner at Grimsley's Flowers. Memorials may be directed to the Weldon Spring Foundation. Funerals pending for Friday, January 29th, 2016. Doris May Howard, 91, of Argenta, died Thursday, January 28th, 2016, Calvert Funeral Home in Argenta. Helen Elizabeth Wiggins, 94, of Oriana, died Wednesday, January 27th, 2016, Dawson and Wyckoff West Wood Street Funeral Home. Funerals today for Friday, January 29th, 2016. John Culver Barkalow III, 71, Decatur, 11 a.m. in Funk Grove Church. Ralph C. Davis, 86, Decatur, 11 a.m. in Howe and Yaki Funeral Home in Shelbyville. Walter A. Densler, 75, Decatur, 6 p.m. in Brittlinger and Earl Funeral Homes in Decatur. Louis Arthur Gomez, he was called Art, 85, Decatur, 1 p.m. in the Life Foursquare Church. Tricia Michelle Haley, 57, Chestnut, 10 a.m. in Assembly of God Church in Clinton. Donna Janes, J-A-N-E-S, 94, of Warrensburg, 11 a.m. in Graceland Cemetery. Norma Kell, 94, Willow Hollow, noon in Crane Funeral Home in Newton. Agnes Overy, 94, Clinton, 2 p.m. in Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton. Pasley, Virginia is her first name, Virginia Pasley, or Paisley maybe, P-A-S-L-E-Y, 96, of Oriana, 11 a.m. in Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Helen L. Rutledge, 94, of Cerro Gordo, 1 p.m. in First Presbyterian Church Normal. And Myra Lee Watchholtz, 64, of Decatur, 11:30 a.m. in St. Paul Lutheran Church. Rosemary D. Graham, Tuscola. Rosemary D. Graham, 93, recently of Robinson, Illinois, formerly of Tuscola, Illinois, passed away at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, January 26, 2016, at the Ridgeview Care Center in Oblong, Illinois. Rosemary was born on March 18, 1922, in Sullivan, Illinois. She graduated from Arthur High School and was awarded a music scholarship at Eureka College. On May 11, 1941, she married Harold R. Graham of Sullivan at the Arthur United Methodist Church. The young couple lived in Sullivan and at Farragut Naval Base until they moved to Tuscola in 1953. Harold preceded her in death on December 15, 2001. In 1982, Rosemary retired from the Tuscola National Bank, where she had enjoyed serving the customers and the staff of TNB. She was an avid sports fan who backed the teams of her children and grandchildren, as well as her beloved Chicago Cubs and Fighting Illini. She and Harold enjoyed fishing, camping, boating, traveling, and large family dinners, where Rosemary made delicious fried chicken, quail, pheasant, and any other game Harold wanted to try. Her peanut butter fudge was the highlight of many Christmases. Rosemary enjoyed volunteering at Tuscola United Methodist Church, being a member of the Ladybug Red Hat Association, Tuscola Women's Club, and being a 50-plus year member of the Order of the Eastern Star Tuscola Chapter Number 44. She was a seamstress and maker of beautiful cross-stitched items, which her family treasures. Her grandchildren especially remember camping with their grandparents and how Grandma loved to play cards and board games with them. She is survived by her daughter and several other people. Rosemary was preceded in death by her parents. Funeral service celebrating her life will be held at 2 p.m. Sunday, January 31st, 2016 at the Hilligoss Schrader Funeral Home in Tuscola. Shirley Jean Hawk, S-H-I-R-L-E-Y, of Lerna. Shirley Jean Hawk, 872, of rural Lerna, Illinois, passed away in her home on Tuesday, January 26, 2016. Her family will host a time for friends and family to remember and celebrate her life on Saturday, January 30, 2016, 2 to 4 p.m. at Adams Funeral Chapel in Charleston. There will be no formal services, and her body will be cremated according to her wishes. It is requested that in lieu of flowers, thoughtful donations in her honor be made to the American Cancer Society. Gifts may be left during the time of remembering or may be mailed to Adams Funeral Chapel, 2330 Shawnee Drive, Charleston, Illinois. Shirley was born December 7, 1943, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to the late John William and Clarice Bell Carpenter Robson. She became the wife of George Thomas Hawk, Jr. on May 8, 1981, in Belleville, Illinois. She is survived by Tom, her loving and devoted husband of 34 years, her stepchildren, and some other people. Shirley grew up in Warren, Illinois, and graduated from Warren High School. She began her employment with State Farm Insurance Company as a secretary and retired as a field adjuster. Following formal retirement from State Farm, she managed Pleasant Grove Golf Course, now known as Bent Tree, located south of Charleston. Shirley's complete obituary is available online, and that's about that. Ruby Pauline Hester Newton. Ruby Pauline Hester, age 101, March 9, 1914 to January 27, 2016, of Newton, Illinois, passed away at 5:27 p.m. Wednesday, January 27, 2016, at Heartland Christian Village in Neoga, Illinois. The dash is small, but what it represents is 101 years and 10 months of a life lived to its fullest. Ruby lived her life to the fullest each and every day, and that dash was filled with wonderful stories and treasures. She was a Christian and loved her Lord and accepted Christ as her personal Savior and was immersed into Him on August 16, 1932. She was past member of Central Christian Church of Newton, Scott Avenue Christian Church in Newton. Ruby was a loving wife, mother, grandmother, friend, and businesswoman. She helped each and every family member over and over and could always be counted on no matter what. Ruby Pauline Williams Hester was born in Jasper County, Illinois, on March 9, 1914, the daughter of Edgar Levy, L-E-V-I, and Ina Foreman Williams. She graduated from Newton High School with the class of 1932. She married Eugene Dale Hester on March 27, 1931. They were the proud parents of Gerald Jean and wife Beverly Hester of Brandon, Mississippi, Almeda Hester, anyway, it goes on. They Ruby and Jean owned and operated Rouge Fashion Shop in Newton and for several years in Greenup also. Ruby loved serving the women of the area and assisting them in finding the latest fashion. Ruby and Jean opened their store in 1953 and retired from the business in January of 1977. In August of 2004, Ruby moved to Brookstone Assisted Living in Effingham. And then in July of 2015, she moved to Heartland Christian Village. However, her heart never left Jasper County. Ruby is survived by son and wife and a bunch of people. Ruby was preceded in death by her parents. Funeral services celebrating Ruby's life will be held at 3 p.m. Saturday, January 30th, 2016, at the Meyer Funeral Home in Newton, Illinois. Edward Lane Sullivan. Edward Frankie Lane, 57, of Sullivan, passed away Wednesday, January 27th, 2016, in Barnes Jewish Hospital, St. Louis, Missouri. Celebration of life services will be 11 a.m. Saturday in the Reed Funeral Home, Sullivan, with the pastor Paul McGhy officiating. Frankie was born February 12, 1958, in Sullivan, the son of Robert Francis and Karen Elizabeth Oliver Lane. She was retired from the U.S. Navy and had been an engineer for the Norfolk Southern Railroad for several years. He was a member of the Jonathan Creek Christian Church. Surviving are a bunch of people, and I guess that's it. Robert V. Smith, Atwood. Robert V. Bob Smith, 82, of Atwood, passed away at 4 a.m. Thursday, January 28, 2016, at the Tuscola Health Center in Tuscola, Illinois. Funeral services will be 2 p.m. Saturday, January 30, 2016, at the Holy Ghost Schrader Funeral Home, 66 East Highway 36, Atwood, Illinois, with Dr. Lanny Faulkner officiating. Bob was born February 21, 1933, in Oblong, Illinois, the son of Vern and Melry Utterback Smith. He married Viva Lee Lewis on November 20, 1955. She survives. He is survived by grandsons and several other people. Bob retired from Illinois Consolidated Telephone Company, Mattoon, Illinois, where he worked as a technician. He was a member of the First Baptist Church of Atwood and Atwood Sportsman Club. Bob served his country during the Korean War as a member of the U.S. Army and was a member and past commander of the James Reeder American Legion, post number 770, Atwood, Illinois. Memorials are suggested at the First Baptist Church of Atwood. Patricia Marie Thompson, Monticello. Patricia Marie Thompson, 59, of Monticello, Illinois, passed away on Tuesday, January 26th, 2016, at Presence Covenant Medical Center, Urbana, Illinois. She was comforted by her husband, all three sons, and close family. Cremation rites to be accorded. Britlinger and Earl Funeral Homes in Decatur are assisting the family. Patricia desired that the condolences be left in the form of donations to the Lupus Foundation of America at www.lupus.org. Patricia was born September 16, 1956, in Springfield, daughter of George A. Lowry and Marie Boer, B-O-O-H-E-R. She married Fred Thompson on September 23, 1972, in Decatur. Surviving are her husband of 43 years, Fred of Monticello, Illinois, her sons, and a bunch of other people. Patricia was a certified nursing assistant at the Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello, Illinois, for 25 years, touching dozens of lives and forming countless personal and professional connections with her peers. While she enjoyed crocheting, cooking, reading, she gained the most life satisfaction through the time spent with her three sons, raising them in Milmine, Illinois. M-I-L-M-I-N-E. Odd that I haven't actually heard that name. Over the years, she was regularly heard conversing about the immense pride she took in nurturing them to become self-sustaining members of society. She leaves behind a close network of family and friends, connected through her tireless positive energy and endless desire to make others comfortable. As an extension of her family, she formed strong bonds with a half-dozen family cats over the years. She is survived by two that rarely left her side. The family would like to thank the staff of Presence Covenant Medical Center, Urbana, Illinois, specifically the loving care provided by Julie created unforgettably soothing conditions during Patricia's final days. Condolences may be left to the family at www.britlingerandearl.com. There's past photos from, there are 39 photos of past winters in Decatur, and they are amazing photos. They are worth looking at if someone wants to describe them to you. A lot of snow, a lot of people shoveling snow, an accident or several accidents. Just the hazy snow that a police officer. There's children making snowmen, a lot of people shoveling, all sorts of people, young, old, police officers. There's all sorts of snow sledding and people buried in the snow having fun, people pushing out cars. Just looks bitter cold for some children, and these are all past winters in Decatur. Oh, a bunch of people trying to push out one little tiny car, a beautiful snowman, trees just frosted with snow, and lakes frozen over, steps, just the beautiful snow sitting on top of trees and on top of benches, kids just looking bitter cold with snow all over them. Just really beautiful pictures. Someone running in the snow. People walking. The smokestacks of the industry in Decatur. Someone digging. There's a man crawling up the stairs. He had dug a. There's a bunch of snow over his stairs, and he had dug a hole so that he could get down in there. A rabbit, a tree frosted with snow, a horse drinking in a stream in the snow, snow plows, just really beautiful pictures. Downtown, this must be 1982. Yeah, it says 1982, where the snow-clogged streets presents a hazard for motorists and pedestrians. Anyway, just really fantastic pictures. I think we have time for one sports story. Central A&M outlasts Tuscola. Mwikwa, the number one state-ranked Central A&M girls basketball team, likes to get everyone involved. Six different Raiders contributed at least 4 points en route to a 54-42 victory over Tuscola and their second straight Illinois Conference tournament title at home Thursday night. We like to get as many points as we can and spread it out a little bit, said Central A&M point guard Ryan Doley, who led her team with 14 points and 5 rebounds. There's really nobody who's selfish on this court. Tuscola, 19-4 overall, 3-3 CIC, pestered the Raiders until Central A&M's Emma Meyer, who finished with 9 points, ignited a strong third-quarter finish with stellar defense and a pair of baskets for a 39-27 lead. The Warriors trailed by double digits for most of the fourth quarter. I don't think our offense was real good in the third quarter, but defensively we were pretty sound, Central A&M coach Tom Dooley said. I thought Emma Meyer in the third quarter got some big buckets, and then I thought we got rebounds and transition late in the third quarter. That's our style of basketball. The Raiders 24-0 and 6-0 CIC ensured the victory at the free throw line, shooting 11 for 12, 91.7% in the final period. Abigail Hilton provided 10 points for the defending class 1A state champs, while Micah Maples had 9 points. They are determined and they're great kids to coach, said Dooley. They make my job easy as a coach because they know how to get it done. This isn't a new territory for the Raiders except for Meyer, a transfer from Vandalia. It's a good feeling to know that I get to play with these guys, maybe for state, Meyer said. It's a really good feeling that we're undefeated. We have a good chance to continue on in the postseason. It's very new, but it's pretty great. Senior guard Madeline Meinhold was the catalyst for the Warriors, shooting 9 for 15, 60% from the field for 23 points. She scored 8 of the team's 9 points in the second quarter. Tuscola trailed 30-23 at halftime. The problem was Ryan Dooley wasn't getting going to let them loose on their home court, Tuscola coach Tom Cole Becker said. That's why she's all-stater and Micah Maples is tough. That's a very good team. I'm not discouraged one bit. I'm very proud of this team. I knew this would be a very tough game on their home court. An electric home crowd boosted Central A&M to an early 7-0 lead in the first quarter. However, the Warriors responded and trailed just 15-14 by the start of the second. We just really had to play with all of our heart tonight because we knew it wasn't going to be easy, Ryan Dooley said. They didn't stop us from doing our transition a couple of times. They knew our game. It was hard to get down the court. So that's it for today. My name is Karen Medina. I have been reading the Decatur Herald and Review e-version, and it is Friday, January 29th, 2016. I hope to see you all soon, and take care of yourselves. It's not bad weather, but make the most of it. How's that?